Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love the Lord for what He's done for me in my life. He gave me hope down in my soul. He spoke to me when no one else could ever understand. I love the Lord for what He's done. Oh, I love the Lord for what He's done for me in my life. He gave me hope down in my soul. Oh, yes, He spoke to me when no one else could ever understand. I love the Lord for what He's done. Oh, yes, I love the Lord for what He's done for me in my life. Down in my soul. Oh, yes.
when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me. My soul cries out.
Glory, 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 oh, glory. your goodness. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I asked Brother Durham, I said, you know, Jesus' disciples were all around 30. Some of them may have been younger than that. I told him, when I came to this people, I was 29 years old. And I can see the difference. But anyway, I'm encouraging the young people, you know, to get stirred up because, you know, who was that talking in the corner? Brother McGowan. We're talking about, saying that today, but anyway, he used to tell about how he used to jump fences, and out in the country, you know, they did things like that, but he probably was younger than 29, but anyway, this is good for the old, it's good for the young, so, but I tell you what, though, it's this, the old, it's better if you can start out young, I'll put it that way, it is better. And but it's not too late for anybody. But I'm thankful tonight that we here again, and when you think about the goodness of Jesus, it's all you have to do is just think about the goodness of Jesus. I'm not older than Brother Sister Crow, but I've seen a lot of people come and go, and not just from this body, but come and go in this world. I remember when I used to work at a phone company, I went to a lot of retirement parties, and I thought, I don't know if I'll ever get to retire, you know. but anyway, I've seen a lot of people. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I didn't know that at the time, but a lot of these people you work with, you share a thing with, and when they retire, you never see them again. And I thought, you know, sometimes, you know, we share things in our life with people, and you don't think about it, but that might be the last thing. I was thinking about Paul's, Brother Smith points out different, I think it's the Ephesian church, that Paul was giving a farewell message to. And you know, he wasn't going to ever see these people again. He did the work that he did. He preached to them. He helped them as much as he could. Wrote letters to them. But he would never see them again. And we get to read some of those letters that he wrote to them, and hopefully we can benefit from it. You know, with the message that he was trying to answer their questions, help them with the situation, different situation that they was dealing with, but you know, I'll just think about that. You know, in this life that we're living, we run into people and befriend them and different things, and not knowing that you'll never see these people again, you know, unless you see him in the resurrection sometime. But you know, I mean, in this, as the life as we know it today, I'm just thinking about that. You know, so we have to make the best of our time, and even tonight in this service, I was thinking, you know, that you see snapshots of back in the 50s at campground, different places. You know, you see people, and that's what those people. That was their day, you know what I mean? This is our day. You know, you can take pictures. Sister Linda does a lot of picture taking. I appreciate that. You know, because sometimes you can look back. You know, you look back at this picture and think, you know, kind of shocking sometimes. You know, you're like, what happened? You know, you change over the years. But you know, I don't want to, I know we look at that in the natural, but I was thinking, you know, spiritually, you know, we can keep growing. spiritually. You know, naturally we might change somewhat to where we can't make the progress that we did make in time past, but spiritually I think we can keep growing. We can, no matter what the time frame is, we can keep growing. We can keep our hearts open to the Lord and keep reaching out to Him, you know, no matter the age. I don't believe the age matter, really, with God. I think we can just keep being open to God, keep talking to Him, keep that line of communication going. And I believe the Lord will help us. You know, I believe He'll help us. And we keep reaching out to Him, having that light, walking in light. What the dorm was telling us this morning, you know, the light that God has given. He's given us light that we can see and understand His way and this salvation plan that we're allowed to partake in, you know, be a part of, you know, God's salvation plan. You know, He said, what that scripture that Daniel quoted about, take this cup of salvation. You know, what the Lord is requiring of you, asking of you, or something of that nature. And decide to take this cup of salvation. You know, this is what God has given us. And I'm appreciative today, tonight, that God is allowing us to take part in this. And I have feeling about other people, you know, what happened to them, or why they let something get in their life to hinder them from going on with God. But you know, we have to keep going ourselves, you know. When you're flying on an airplane and they tell you about what happened if you lose oxygen and all these things, you know, your first instinct, you maybe want to try to help your baby or your child. But it said first, put your mask on. You know, you got to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help somebody else. You know, if I'm not capable of helping myself, then I'm not going to be able to do much for anybody else. So I have to pray that God keep helping me to go, let me go on, Lord. I want to go on. You know, I want to have some strength from the Lord to be able to go on. So I'm thankful tonight that we're on the job. We're working for God. And God sent us some help. Brother Cole's here tonight. He's here to help us to go on. We want to keep going, Brother Cole. We started this walk, and we want to finish it. We believe that God can help us finish it. We didn't start this way to quit, but we started it to finish it. And with God's help, we can do that. And I'm just thankful tonight that we have such an opportunity before us, and the greatest thing, God, you know, like this, to start this off today, and she got us going, and I appreciate that, man. And let us know that, you know, we can help others. We got people that's coming. We'll have more coming, you know, visitors. Our visitors today felt God in this service today. I didn't get to talk to them, but Brother Paul. That's good. I mean, that's good. And we want it to be that way. You know, when people come to church, you know, we want to feel that way. When we, like Brother McGowan said, we already felt, you know, if either just, you know, not been able to continue the service day and just went home from that point, we felt God. And that's what we want to do when we come to His house. We want to be able to feel God and know that God is helping us, assisting us. You know, we embrace that. You know, that God, we need You. And we want Him to help us. So, we want to be people that want to be the people. You know, God's going to help somebody, but why shouldn't it be us? You know, we should be wanting God to use us to be the people. You know, He's going to have a people. You know, why not? You know, why not us? You know, we're here. Let's make our lives available to the Lord that He can use us and be the people that God has called. He said He's going to call out a people from the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. So anyway, He's going to call out people for His name's sake. So that's what we want to do, you know, be that people. You know, we want to be people that are willing to work with God, be willing to give. I was thinking this word giving, given unto hospitality. And I was thinking, you know, if our lives were given, just given to the Lord, You know, I couldn't find a lot of other places. It said you could be given to a lot of other things, but most of them weren't too good, like covetousness and all these things. But if our lives, if we're given, you know, people that are given unto the Lord, our lives, and I believe the Lord can use us. You know, if we, you know, let this become our life. You know, that's what my point is. And when this becomes your life, you know, you don't, a lot of the things that hindrances that could hinder you won't even hinder you anymore. Because this is your life. You know, this is what you live for. So, anyway, I can go on. I don't want to keep going on. I appreciate Brother Cole being here, Brother Aaron here with them. And God has blessed them, and I'd like to hear from them. And I just overwhelmed today with the service and the wonderful songs and spirit we felt here. And I thank the Lord for touching me, and I needed it, I guess. And I appreciate Him, you know, feeling God's presence and His spirit. You know, I mean, that keeps us going. I don't want to take it lighter, because God, He moves sometimes among us, and every service is not the same. I understand that. But I want to have my heart open to the Lord, you know, to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. So, anyway, let the Lord bless you.
By the time I went to bed Saturday night, it was just like I was totally exhausted. So I got up last Sunday morning, and about 3.5 hours, by 10:30, I began to feel some energy. Then three times this week since then, yesterday afternoon, two other afternoons this week, I just had to sit back in the recliner and close my eyes for about an hour. Just no energy, just fatigue. So I don't know, I guess that's part of getting older, but... thankful to be here this weekend. I'm thankful we have standards. You know, I get so sick of seeing women in pants, you know. I go eat pizza on Monday night, and it's senior citizens night, and about 95% of the people there are senior citizens, and those old women, you hardly ever see one in a dress. So I'm glad we have standards. And you know, I don't watch much TV, but sometimes it's hard to find anything worth watching on TV. So here recently, when I didn't come to church one Sunday, I was changing channels, and I caught this Catholic channel, and so he was talking about TVs, and I thought, well, I'll listen to him. He wasn't a priest, he was a preacher. He was dressed up in a suit and tie, you know, and I believe he gave one of the best sermons I've ever heard on the evils of TV. I mean, he covered just about all the bases. And I don't watch TV. Well, watch some sports and the weather some and the news some, but from what I hear, it is really rotten. I hear that these sitcoms, that they tear down family values. I hear TV is so evil and rotten. In fact, I was changing channels here not long ago, and there were two men kissing, you know, so it seems like anything goes on TV now. But you know, this, I mean, it's just, and I even with cable, sometimes I can't even find anything interesting to watch, you know, so it seems like a lot of it's just a waste of time. But anyway, I'm thankful that I think I have some understanding. You may not agree with me, but I think I have some understanding of the changes that are taking place in this world. I remember in 1989, the first President Bush, He talked about the New World Order. Well, you didn't hear much about that, but in the last 5 years, it's quite common for a talk show host to talk about the New World Order. So here about 5 weeks ago, Pierce Morgan on CNN, he was interviewing Ted Turner. And he asked Ted Turner, said, under the New World Order, who should be the policeman of the world? And Ted Turner said, the UN. Well, I don't think we have a government anymore. I think it's been taken over by the global New World Order, the global bankers. So there's a black man that has a column in the newspaper ever so often, a syndicated columnist, and you know he's not prejudiced against Obama because he's black, but he never has anything to say good about Obama. Since the election, he said, Obama, President Obama, has circumvented the law. He circumvented the Constitution, said he wants to be a one-man ruler. You know, Obama says, I don't have to look to the Congress for military guidance. I get my guidance from the UN. So there definitely is a change taking place in this world. And I recently heard Henry Kissinger say that President Obama would be the ideal man to bring in the New World Order. I think it started with President Bush when he got us so deep in debt, and now Obama's just continued that. But there are people, that eugenicists, that think there's too much people in the world, and they want to cut down on the population, like Bill Gates. He says we have too many people. Ted Turner, that was made his money in Turner Broadcasting. He's a billionaire, and he said when Piers Morgan was interviewing him, Piers Morgan said, isn't it sad that more of our military now are committing suicide? Ted Turner said, no, that's a good thing. Said, we need more of it. So Bill Maher, the comedian, he's an atheist. And recently on TV, he said he was promoting death. He said, we need more abortions. We need more suicides. So there's an evil force in the world. We know there's a good force, but there's an evil, sinister plot going on in the world to take over America and bring us down. And so I believe they would like to start civil strife. Then they could start, if they could get civil strife going, they could bring in martial law and get more control of our lives, which is what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to control more and more of our lives. And so anyway, I'm thankful that I'm open-minded to see the truth of this place. About 5 weeks ago yesterday, a black woman came by. Yes, she was wearing pants, and she was inviting people in the neighborhood to her church. And she gave me a flyer, and I said, well, we believe in speaking in tongues. And she said, we do too. So she gave me this flyer, and it said, the right church, spirit-filled, multicultural, and it's only about a mile from where I live. Well, I thought, if I didn't know about this place, that would be the ideal place. I wouldn't have to make this drive to Little Rock every weekend. And seems like living this far away, it's hard for me to be faithful. I mean, the last two times I've come down here on Wednesday night, by the time I got back to Conway, it was about bedtime, and making that drive and going to bed, it seemed like it was hard to relax. And so it seems like it's hard to be faithful, but I'm just thankful that I have eyes to see the difference in this. You know, like that woman, her church sounds good, you know, just to see it on paper, but I know the doctrine hasn't been put through the threshing floor like ours, so it just feels so good to be here. It's so refreshing to feel the Spirit of God, and I really have missed that this week. I always feel a lift up after being here, so good to be with you.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I tell you what, there's so much stuff going on. But we do know that the Bible says when all these things begin to come to pass, look up. Look up. So many times we're looking all over here and we should be looking up. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'll tell you what, there's no other greater friend than He. Amen. There's no one else that can take care of us. Amen. Ain't no one else that can solve our problems like the Lord can. So many times we think that we can handle it. And we do try to handle it, don't we? When people ask us how things are going, we tell them everything's all right. And not everything's all right, is it? But you know what? With the Lord Jesus, casting our burdens upon Him, for He careth for you. When you put your burdens upon Him, He'll take care of you, won't He? Praise God. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that I feel in this place tonight. Amen. I just feel full tonight. We had such a sweet Spirit of the Lord, and it sounds like y'all did this morning. We had in our little church back in Glenwood. And there's a song that we sang this morning. If you don't mind, I'd like to help. I'd like to try to sing it. I know, told Brother Talley I didn't bring my songbook. Well, this is just a church songbook here. But it's an old song, but I'll tell you what, these verses are powerful. Didn't realize how powerful these verses were till I just stood back and looked at it. And if someone can flatten three flats for me, we'll try to sing this. Someone to help me here. Three flats. At least not four flat tires. We got three flat tires. I wish I knew about these notes. I don't know a thing. I just know they're going up and down. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow
of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. All on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest. Oh, as you yield body and soul. Oh, we never can know, oh, what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Oh, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit and have peace and sweet rest? Oh, as you yield Him your body and soul.
Hallelujah. We would only yield. I was thinking of something while Brother Talley was speaking and just a few minutes ago, of a scripture, and I know I might take this wrong, but just bear with me. Jesus here in Luke 19 is making His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But before He did, in Luke 19:29, He sent two of His disciples and told them, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him?
Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. This was a young colt, never had been ridden, tied up, tied down, bound, if you will. I was bound for a long time. Nothing had ever ridden on this young colt. And the Lord wanted that colt to be unloosed, because the Lord hath need of him. And with that thought in mind, the Lord needs you, but he don't want you to be tied up. He has need of you. He wants to use you. He can't use you if you're tied up. He can't use you if you're bound. He doesn't want you to be bound. He don't want you to be enslaved. He wants to ride on you. He wants to make a triumphal entry with you. Can you imagine what that colt must have felt like, making that journey in there with all them garments cast on that young colt, and Jesus sat there on. He didn't buck. He didn't, you know, he didn't try to throw Jesus off of there. He knew who he's carrying. He was carrying the Savior. And then to hear all them folks praising God and saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest." Amen. Can you imagine what that colt must have felt like? But you know, he never would have felt that feeling. Never would have been able to let the Lord ride on him if he hadn't have been loosed by some faithful disciples of the Lord. The Lord's looking for someone to loose. Loose somebody. So that the Lord can use him. Let me tell you something. The Lord has need of you. I know he can do anything by himself, but he uses vessels. He uses yielded vessels. He uses vessels that yield to him. He uses vessels that will allow him to use, for the Lord to use him. He wants us to yield ourselves, give ourselves to him. So many times we're so tied up in our life, so wrapped up in everything that we do every day. Do we talk to him every day? Do we yield him our body and our soul? We can only find peace and sweet rest as we yield him our body and our soul. We're living in a day and time today where people don't want to yield their body and soul. They're yielding it to everything else but the Lord. And that's a sad thing that happened in my home state of Connecticut. Them 20 children getting gunned down. And adults getting gunned down out of school. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for peace. They're looking for peace. The Lord, Jesus, wants to give peace to people today. And the only peace they're going to have is if they yield to the Lord. And the only peace they're going to find is some people are willing to listen to the Lord to unloose people that are tied up so the Lord can use them. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use other people. And I know we're living in it seems like no one else wants to come to church but us. But let me tell you something, there's somebody else that does. And they don't just want to go to any church. They want to go to church where they can feel God. Not get a message, not hear a few songs and go home. They want to feel God. They want to feel the love of God when they come in too. They cannot feel God unless they feel the love of God through the people that when they come in the door, they feel the love of God. Because people shake their hands and say, oh, we're so glad that you're here. Not something that's played up because, well, I got to do it. I go to church and we want to see people come to church. No, you do that because you love God. And when you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. Because everybody that comes in that door is your neighbor. And you love them. We used to sing an old chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. God wants to use us to reach people. Someone reached me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody called my name in prayer. Somebody sought after God for me when I was a young boy. And I thank God somebody prayed for me. I thank God somebody called my name. I'm so glad somebody loved me. And I can honestly say, we're at church I went to, there was a love of God in it because they loved me when I come in that door, even though I didn't look like a loving person. Even though I didn't look like a church person, even though I may not have looked the way I should have, you know what won me? God won me through them. People don't know any different until they feel the love of God working through somebody. You've got to yield to God so God can work through you. So it's been said one time, God has no feet but your feet. He has no hands but your hands. He has no mouth but your mouth. Paul said, you're our written epistles. Read and known of all men. And he was telling the Corinthian church, when people see you, they're seeing our apostleship in your life. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I'm sure when people see y'all, they see a Brother Smith in you. And they see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Because of the teachings and the preachings that Brother Smith has ministered here. Amen. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador represents the country from which it is sent to another country. Our country's not from this world. Our country's from heaven. And we're supposed to represent heaven here on earth. And we're ambassadors to Christ. And what we do, we have a ministry, Paul told the Corinthian church, we have a ministry of reconciliation. What are we doing? We're trying to reconcile people to God. We're trying to bring people unto the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to do it because God has called us to be ambassadors. Called us to be witnesses. Called us to be disciples. Called us to be Christians. There's a song in a songbook too. It's kind of a paradox. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. You ever heard that old song? What, is a new-time Christian no good? It's kind of a paradoxical song, and I know why they wrote it. But why did they put a title? I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd just rather be a Christian. And the word means Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. When the Lord was reviled, He reviled not again. He did that. You know what? I want to be Christ-like. I want to show the love of God. Hallelujah. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? I want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Hallelujah. I get up in the morning every morning and I brush my teeth, comb my hair, get presentable. You say, well, that's in the flesh. Well, I'll tell you what's flesh. Flesh is when that, you know, someone gets you mad and cuts you off when you're driving and you get mad at them, call them a heathen. You heathen! Well, that's probably putting it nicely. You idiot! You knucklehead! You know, I did that one time. Got so mad, we were having a drag race down the road. I got so mad. Well, that was really Christ, wasn't it? When I got to work, I was thinking, you know what? You're so stupid. Brother Taylor, I looked at myself and I said, you're supposed to be a Christian. That was really Christ-like, wasn't it? That was really showing the love of God, wasn't it? If someone wants to be in, you know, whatever they are, let them be. Don't let them affect you. Don't let them, you know, there's such a thing as courtesy. You know, some people let you get in the lane when you're trying to merge, when you get off the interstate. They're nice and they're courteous. I know, yeah, but think of all the 20-some-odd people that didn't were so courteous to you. But you know what? If everyone was a little courteous, and it seems like about this time of year, you even got people that are thinking about at least being a little bit nice. And I know there are people going to the stores and they're wanting this and they're wanting that and they're in a huff for Christmas and all that. But there are some people that are actually thinking about the Lord during Christmas time. Actually thinking about being a little kind. Actually thinking not being an Ebenezer Scrooge. Actually thinking about showing love. But we should be showing love all throughout the year. Every day. Herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? How? If ye have love. One what? To another. Hallelujah. I want to be the Lord's disciple. The Lord has need of you. In one of the versions, it said that the people actually stopped the disciples. What are you doing? Are you stealing my colt? No, they didn't say that. But it said, what are you doing? And all they had to say was just what the Lord said. The Lord hath need of them. Let me tell you something. The Lord has need of you. He doesn't want you to be bound, and He wants to ride on you. Amen. And He desires praises. Amen. He desires praises. Hallelujah. He desires praises. Hallelujah. Praise God. He desires praises. He lives in praises. Hallelujah. He loves praises. Thank God. He can do the opposite of that. If He doesn't live in praises, what does He not live in? Think about it. He inhabits the praises of His people. Well, He doesn't live when there's no praises. If you want Him to live, praise Him. Praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. The birds praise the Lord. The dog praises the Lord. The cat praises the Lord. That canary we got, a parakeet there at the house, it praises the Lord. We don't have too many people praise the Lord. Used to be churches were full. What's happened? Everything's got displaced church, hadn't it? Everything's displaced coming to the house of God. Yeah. Because people's affections are not above. They're set on things on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal. But our affections need to be up there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I appreciate the Lord today. The Lord has need of you. Amen. Let the Lord loose you. Amen. Sometimes we don't allow the Lord to, you know, loose us. The Lord wants to loose us. Hallelujah. The Lord don't want us to be bound. Hallelujah. He wants to loose us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord bless you.
This Holy Ghost power is setting me free this very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free this very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free. This very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This very hour, it's out of my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. Oh, this very hour, it's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This very hour, it's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power, it's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power, it's setting me free. This very hour, it's down in my soul. Let me free, free, free.
my talents and whatever else I can give him. You know, I'm not that talented. I don't have a whole lot to offer, but what I do have to offer, I want to give to the Lord. I want to give him my praise tonight, because just as we started with the service this morning and even tonight, I love the Lord for what he has done for me in my life. Not just for what he's done, but if he never blessed me again, if he never did another thing for me in my life, I would still serve him. I would still have to serve him, because I know how great our God is. And I believe that tonight, and I want to be set free. Like Brother Colts was saying, I want to be let loose. I want the Spirit to work through me. I want to be able to affect someone else by the God that I have in my life. And he really is so good. We started with the chorus, when you think of the goodness of Jesus. That's what was going on in my mind. And Brother Talley said that when he got up. He said, if you just think about it, if you just think about how good God is, he is so good. You think about your best friend. Who's your best friend? Okay. Why are they your best friend? Because you'll get along. You have common things that you like to do together, and they're not mean to you. They shouldn't be mean, or they shouldn't. Maybe you need new friends. But I want to talk about how good God is tonight. You know, I can get my focus off the things of the Lord. I can start looking around. You know, Brother Coles was talking about don't focus on things of the natural. Focus on spiritual things. Look up towards the Lord, and I want to do that. I want to keep my focus on the Lord, you know, and if I think about those good things, if I keep my mind revolving around the good things that he's done, you know, the truths that he's shown us, how to get free in the Spirit, how to open our hearts, it'll do something for you. And I want that tonight. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Just to be able to walk in here, you know, there are places that you could go, you could hear good music, you may hear good preaching, but when you can get good music, good preaching, and the Spirit of God, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, that's where I want to be. And I want to praise him tonight that I found that. And he's making me free as I allow him to. And I'm so thankful for that. I just want to praise him tonight. I just want to have church tonight. I'm so thankful for what our God has done in our lives. You know, I was thinking down front, just, you know, I was really feeling the courses. And I started, then it came to my mind, the situations that I've been through. Some people know, some people don't, more than others, about situations with my parents and other things that I felt have held me captive through my life. But just recently, you know, I was talking with a friend last night, and I said, it's kind of ironic that I was talking about it with him because we sang about it tonight, but I said, I'm just free of those things. I don't have the bitterness that I once had. I don't have the anger that I once had. He set me free. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And because of that, no matter where I'm at in my life, no matter how I feel on a day-to-day basis, I'm going to praise the Lord because he's done something for me, and I owe my life. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but I owed it, and I could not pay it. But tonight, I want to do what I can to repay the Lord. He is my Savior. He is my best friend, and I'm thankful for the relationship that I have with him, and I want him to know that. I don't want it to just be words. I want it to be actions. I want the Lord to know that I love him. I love the Lord. He's done so much, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I don't want to just beat that in the ground, but I am so thankful. I cannot get past that. You know, we were talking at lunch with my family, and I said, let's talk about good things. Not that we were talking about anything bad. We were having good conversation, but I just said, let's focus on good things. I want to keep my mind on the good things that the Lord has done. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, for the vision that we have, that he's restoring us and he's making us free. And I just want to be open to that tonight.
Lord, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. It's good to feel the Spirit of the Lord and the liberty. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he's given us liberty. We're not here under anybody else's name but the name of the Lord. And I appreciate what Brother Brandon said there, and I do want to go where the Lord grants us freedom to worship Him. And there's a lot of good songs, you know, like that, that encourage us to cease from our labors and work for the Lord. And you know, one of the greatest challenges I find personally is my own will, naturally, to do the things that I want to do the things that I think are right, do the things that I think are prudent, but not always pause and consider the Lord in those things. And it's easy to do. It's easy even to make sacrifice. But the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And it's easy to, you know, to fall in a rut and be out here in a, you know, three times a week or whenever service, you know, the doors are open. It's easy for us to just go through the motion and find ourselves making that sacrifice. But we can be making that sacrifice and just have a, you know, a very limited reward, or we can put ourselves in a spirit of obedience and come, you know, with our mind girded up and our hearts ready to receive. And who knows what the Lord might do for us? Who knows the experiences that we might have, the healings or the deliverances or the revelations that may come to a people that haven't a heart, you know, and a mind to work, a willingness to open themselves up and receive what God has for them. I was thinking about that scripture. It says that, you know, though I, in 1 Corinthians 13, said, though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, though I bestow all my goods to the poor and have not charity, though I attend band practice and have not charity, though I come out to church faithful three times a week and have not charity, though I, you know, though I work and do, you know, though it's my, I come in and vacuum when it's our month to clean and have not charity, though I, you know, work in the media booth and have not charity, though I do these things and have not charity, it profiteth me little. That's, you know, it takes a revelation, doesn't it, for us to understand that, you know, for us to understand the love that God has for our brother and our sister is greater than the love that we have. And it's our calling in life to let His love rule our heart. We're missing the little foam thing that goes on this microphone. If anybody happens to see it, it's a little black thing, and we'll get a lot of feedback. If anybody knows where that's at, I'd appreciate if you'd let me know. But it requires a great sacrifice on all our part to surrender our will and let the Lord's love, let the Lord's will fill our heart. And you know, it is a challenge even in today's society. It's a challenge for me to have a heart for humanity. You know, the brutality and the wickedness that we see is just, it's incomprehensible. And I recently learned, you know, even in light of what happened in Connecticut, I recently learned about something within my family that, you know, somebody I've known from a distance that just committed just an incredible, brutal crime, and I can't even begin to comprehend it. And in my heart, you know, how in the world, how could, you know, I hear people say, if there was a God, how would something like this happen? In my mind, I'm thinking, why would God even take the time to love this ungodly and wicked world that we live in? You know, it just amazes me that that God's love is so, it's so large, it engulfs so many people that He's willing to have patience. The Bible says that with great patience does He wait for the precious fruit of the earth. And so I recognize that in this world there are people that are not God's fruit. I recognize that in this world that there are the tares. And the wheat and the tares are growing together. And I understand that there's a day of judgment coming. I want to get my heart ready so that when that day comes, I'm counted among the worthy and not the unworthy. And for me to do that, I've got to learn how to love. I can't earn. I have responsibilities. We all have responsibilities. Even these children have responsibilities in this church. You know, just for example, Neth and I. Neth, you listen to me, boy. I'm talking. These children have a responsibility in this church. For example, they shouldn't run in the church. They might run somebody over, right? They shouldn't backtalk their elders. If an usher instructs them to do something, they should do that willingly. They have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Brother Smith gives me instructions to put down my cell phone or to come out to prayer. That's my responsibility. I have responsibilities. He has responsibilities. He's receiving counsel from the ministry. He has responsibilities to whatever the case may be, whatever instruction they may give. And so it's not enough, though. It's just not enough for me to go through the motion. But I'm to let that responsibility grow within me so that I can gain more responsibility. Because that is our calling in life. We're to become obedient unto Christ. There's a scripture in the 29th, I think it's, let me start over. There's a scripture in the 16th chapter of Luke, I believe. In the 10th, Luke 16 and 10. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now here he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least." Now you may, I wouldn't guess how you measure your contribution. I couldn't begin to understand mine. You know, I've heard other people say, and I read this in the scripture, that we should be careful not to think too highly of ourselves. And so, in that qualification, I assume that I'm the least. But I still want to be faithful in that. Whatever my contribution is, how small and insignificant it may seem at times, I still have a duty to be faithful in that. The Lord's given me responsibilities. He's given me responsibilities through other people. And so therefore, I still have a duty, a responsibility from him, even though Brother Smith may give me a task to do, the man I work for may give me a task to do, I have a responsibility. I get the responsibility of paying taxes. Woohoo! I didn't have any choice in the matter. You know what I mean? I didn't have, you know, it's like, okay, you know, when I start working a job and I get my paycheck and there's taxes coming out, I was like, well, what's this for? Social Security tax. Well, I don't need that. I got a job. You know, probably won't need it either. It probably won't be available to me. But anyway, I still have that responsibility to do that faithfully. It's been given to me. So here I have a responsibility to be faithful in that which is least. As Brother Brandon said, we have a responsibility to take it up. To take it up a notch. To take it up a little higher. To take our conversation up a little higher. Though you be faithful in band practice, you still have the responsibility of charity. Though you be faithful in prayer meeting, you still have the responsibility of charity. Though you be faithful in the standards, you still have a responsibility of charity. We still have a responsibility of treating each other right, of loving each other, of lifting up the name of the Lord and setting our will aside and saying, Lord, come on in. Jesus, here am I. I'm your vessel, Lord. Use me for your glory, for your honor. I'll serve you, Lord, no matter what the cost. God help us. But it's terrific because he said that if you're faithful in that which is least, you're going to be faithful in much also. Hallelujah. You know, it's the little thing. God gives you a calling on your life. He puts a gift in your life. And you're faithful in that. Praise the Lord. It won't be long. He may add something else to you. It may be a task that you don't like. It may be a burden or responsibility that you don't enjoy. But be faithful in it. Be faithful in it. Strive to be faithful in it. Thank the Lord. If you consider it to be the least task in the church, or in the home, or in whatever area that you're working on, let's try to be faithful in it. That's my heart's desire tonight. And so I appreciate seeing these men get out and worship today. I've noticed that today even. Get out and just move out. These brethren, get out and just let the Lord just, you know, Lord, I'm pressing through. I'm pressing through. I'm pressing through the veil of this flesh. I'm pressing through, Lord, to see what you'd have me to do. Praise God. And that's what I'm trying to do here tonight. And so there's another verse I wanted to read over here in Luke 16. Let's see. Maybe that was it. And then in Luke, or in Proverbs 29, there was a verse that caught my mind. In the first verse, Proverbs 29:1. Brother Jaron, if you would. And I'll go to verse 4. I want to say I appreciate everyone that works with me in the media booth. We had a week. Our computer crashed. And songs were gone. Pictures were gone. All these good things were gone. Programs were lost. But because we had been faithful, not entirely, but we had been faithful, we had a computer waiting to go in its place. We had files backed up. We had programs that we could restore. Thank the Lord. Sometimes, you know, the old saying, you take two steps forward, one step. Sometimes it's like that. But be faithful in the things that the Lord has provided. Be faithful in those things. play your horn as though it's the greatest horn. It may not be the greatest horn. I tell you, I have played good horns. And then I played the $50 horn. And if you've ever played a $50 horn, you know what I'm talking about. But I still played it, trying to squeeze every ounce of goodness I could get out of it. I want to be faithful. You got that? Okay. Proverbs 29:1. All right. Said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. We have people in our world that are destroyed. People that are going to prison for life. People that are going, they're being maimed physically. People that are being maimed mentally. People that are being affected psychologically to the point where they'll never be the same. Ever be the same. And you can name a number of things that are happening to people today. I don't care if it's drug abuse, physical abuse, post-traumatic stress from war. We're living in a society where people their heart is so hardened that they are being destroyed without remedy. There is no way for them to go back to the point where they were once clean and be made whole. That'll have to happen after the resurrection, if it's the Lord's will. There's no changing. I know people that have gone to prison and there's no coming back. You people do too. Even in this body, you see things happening where people's hearts harden and they won't receive correction. If you would, go to verse 2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We look around, we look all around us, and we see mourning. And I would be careful to label somebody as righteous or unrighteous. But I recognize that the world and the society we live in today is a society of mourning. Almost weekly, if not daily, we're hearing of tragedy and tragedy and tragedy and tragedy. That's the world we live in today. But look at our little church. I think Brother Brett Weininger has said this before. Look at our little church and how we've avoided so many tragedies. People say, well, how could God let something like that happen? And when they don't see is all the things that God prevented. They don't see all the dangers that He shielded us from. I want to have my heart so ready, Lord, that I want to praise Him in everything. Lord, I want to thank You for the way You've kept me in dangers and seen and unseen. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. If you would, go to verse 3 there. It said, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now, that word harlot there, that's a strong word, and that could be applied to a lot of things. And I'll apply it this way. Whatever you give yourself time, whatever you give your time to, you're spending your substance to whatever you give your time to. Let me soften that a little bit. Whatever I give my time to, I'm spending my substance. I'm wasting my substance. If I'm not careful, I'll be 10 years down the road. I'll be 20 years down the road. And my life will just be wasted on something that doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm just a guy, I just go to this church, you know, my parents went, and I go, and it's all right, you know, we feel God every now and then, and it don't really mean a whole lot. It's just church. There's lots of churches in town. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. That's not who you are. We weren't just called here by chance. We're called here to worship the Lord. We're called here to be made free. Not be bound. Not be bound by the world. Not be bound by the things of the world and the enticements of the world and the lusts and the selfishness of the world. That's not what we're called for. We're called into this house to be made free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he that is free indeed. Oh, hallelujah. If you would go to the next verse there, verse 4, it says, the king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Now, that gifts there is not talking about the gifts of God. That gifts there is talking about under the table gifts. That gifts there is talking about behind the back, you know, come up on the back door kind of gifts. Things that are done in secret. Things that are done in hiding. Whispers behind the door kind of stuff. When we live in a society where we've got politicians that are making laws and judgments behind closed doors so that it totally affects our personal life, they're not ruling in righteousness. They're overthrowing the liberty that we have. So I read something today. It said, why is it when bad people do something, politicians take away the rights of good people? That's where we live. That's the society we live in. But you want to know something? That's not the church we live in. Our ministers gather together. They congregate together. Now, it's open. It's not open for say, my boy to walk in there and sit and make noise and fool around. I'm just picking on you, son. Don't get your feelings hurt. It's not just open for children to come in and just, you know, fool around. It's not open for child's business when they gather together in ministers' meetings and discuss the Word of God. But they're not doing it behind closed doors. There's a council. They're meeting to govern the body of Christ. I honor that. I do honor that. I'm thankful to be in a church that honors that. I've been in a church that didn't honor that. And I'll tell you what, there were gifts. Well, I shouldn't say that. The king by judgment established the land. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. I want you to know tonight, we're in a place where there's nothing to be hidden. The judgment of the Lord is what we're welcoming. And Brother Smith said this recently. He said, judgment may mean something good. You know, if you're, say, for example, if I've got a property dispute where I own something, somebody's trying to take it from me. I go before a judge and he rules in my favor, that judgment is good. That's what I'm expecting. Now, if I did something wrong and I go before a judge and he rules, you know, sentences a judgment, he has a judgment, a punishment upon me, that won't feel very good, would it? But it still may be the right thing. Judgment. And that's coming. Judgment for us, thank you, Brother Jaron. Judgment for us is coming, and I want to have my heart. I want to be free. I want to be free. That's I guess that's my point tonight, is I want to be free. If there's a time that Brother Smith comes in here and he gives us instruction on how we should operate, on how we should do things, I want to be free enough that I'm not bound by my own prejudice. I'm not bound by my own ways of thinking, my own ideology, my own frustrations. I want to be free enough that I can say, yes, Lord, whatever the ministry has for me, that's good enough. I want to be free enough to say, Lord, I serve you, I serve them, I serve your people as unto you. Whatever you would have, then I, not my will, but thy be done. And so, you know, I'm encouraged tonight. I feel good. I feel like that, you know, I feel that there's a strong desire in all of us for leadership and freedom. And freedom comes through order, and I recognize that. And I want to be someone who submits to that. I want to be somebody who is willing to take counsel and instruction and not have a hardened neck so that I'm destroyed without remedy. Praise the Lord. It takes a lot of work to make the church go, doesn't it? It takes a lot of commitment. We need each other, don't we? We need to encourage one another and be lifted up with each other and be praising each other when we see them, when we see somebody do a good work, and pat them on the back and let them know that you love them and appreciate them, and let them know that thank God we're on this road together. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not out here in the world just kind of wandering to and fro, all lonely and wondering where the next tragedy is coming from. But thank God we can come in the house of God just like we did today. We came in the house of God and we set all the world's problems outside the door. Oh, hallelujah. And we begin to sing a song. He's setting me free. Hallelujah. He's setting me free. And wasn't long you felt a joy just rise up. You felt something that just said, you know what? That's true. He is setting me free. Thank God. I'm glad to be a part, aren't you? I'm glad to be a part of the house of God, this great family that we have. And I hope you're encouraged. I hope you go through this week. Whatever the challenges that may come on you this week, however complex and disturbing or frustrating your opportunities may present themselves, know this, that God loves you. This church loves you. You're in a good place. And if you feel yourself getting low down, thank God for that prop night service, that Wednesday night service where you can come in and pray at 7 o'clock and you can shut everything out. You can kneel somewhere along these pews or on these altars or wherever you find a place, and you can begin to talk to the Lord, and you can begin to let Him know your heart's desire, and begin to have that still small voice talk to you so you know His desires. Praise God. And then 7:30 rolls around and the band will start up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. You'll never know what kind of song we might have. Might be one of them heartfelt songs, one of them soul songs that just kind of tugs at your heart and brings a tear to your eye and just kind of gets your mind centered on the Lord. It might be one of them joyful songs that just, you know, puts a spring in your step and gets you to clapping and feeling good. Oh, hallelujah. You never know what the Lord's going to have for you on a Wednesday night service. But I'm telling you, thank God we got somewhere to go. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord made a way for each and every one of us. Praise God to be a part of this church. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be a part of the church? Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God? Hallelujah. I certainly am. Praise the Lord.
Wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all you've done. Help me remember all your blessings, everyone.
And when in danger, how you kept me in your care. And all your blessings I have more than I
think about that all week, okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. I never had talked to you. But anyway, let's thank God for this night and for his wonderful spirit. Lord, we thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, help your people. Go with us, Lord. Praise you.